In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The familiar words of the Lord's Prayer are reported in today's Gospel reading from Luke. They are followed by words that I imagine are far less familiar. We could spend a limitless amount of time on the first part of this passage, but it's a little hot for that. So, today, I will focus on explaining the oddity of the less familiar vignette from our Lord, which I take it is a kind of response to and commentary upon the familiar words of the prayer he taught us to say, and that we still say to this day. The story that Jesus tells of a friend in need invites us to put ourselves in the position of the story's protagonist. Which of you, Jesus asks, who has a friend, will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him"? The way the question is phrased suggests that we are meant to think of ourselves as being invited to consider what it would be like to be in such a situation. But it might be hard for us to do that unless we understand that the dilemma faced by this story's protagonist is one driven by 2 imperatives recognized as compelling in the ancient world. On the one hand, we have the imperative of friendship. Now, for us, the concept of friendship is a loose and casual one. We refer to people we barely know on the internet as friends. But in the ancient world, friendship is an intimate bond, imposing significant moral obligations upon those who share in that bond. The protagonist of our story is in need, and he goes to a friend in the middle of the night, even, to prevail upon that friend to honor their relationship. On the other hand, we have the imperative to hospitality. And again, for us, hospitality is perhaps an occasional practice, one that we might extend when we feel like it to people that we enjoy having around in our homes. But in the ancient world, hospitality was expected as a serious moral obligation. To receive someone into the home was to make your home theirs, to offer them protection and provision. And this would be expected even from virtual strangers or extended family. The protagonist of our Lord's story finds it incumbent upon him to feed and lodge a new arrival, someone who, after a long journey, requires shelter and sustenance, and these needs cannot be decently refused. That this incident plays out at midnight adds urgency and drama to this situation. Nighttime in the ancient world is a time of danger. People do not go out of their homes at night, and a knock at the door at midnight would be most unwelcome, a source of potential threat. Even so, Jesus says, because friendship is important, because hospitality is important, a friend will help another, even reluctantly, even if it's inconvenient and a little alarming. According to a logic commonly used in the Gospels, Jesus then goes on to say that if this is true, if it's true that a friend will give another friend what he needs in the middle of the night to fulfill an obligation, then how much more so is it true that God will give us what we need? And I tell you, Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It is no accident that Jesus tells this story right after he has taught his disciples how to pray. The message of the story, I think, is that we should pray in full and complete confidence that what we ask for, we will receive. We ask that God's name be hallowed, that it be made known to be holy by all people everywhere. We ask that God's kingdom will extend its reign over all times and places. We ask that we will receive our daily bread. We ask that our sins be forgiven. We ask to be delivered from danger. And we can ask these things in confidence because we are asking not from a grumpy and grudging friend, but from God, our loving Father. And again, Jesus asks us to put ourselves into a situation, the situation of a father. What father among you, he asks, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Notice once more the logic of how much more. We should be careful here, though. Sometimes I think we read this passage as if it were constructing an analogy between what we on earth know of as the actions of a loving earthly father, and inviting us to then consider that as a basis for thinking about God as our Heavenly Father. It has even been urged upon us to reconsider the language of God as a father on the grounds of sensitivity toward those among us who have negative experiences of our own fathers. Sometimes we are told that we should discard this analogy because a bad experience of an earthly father casts doubt upon the fitness of paternal imagery for God, our Heavenly Father. Here's what I think. I think that despite appearances, the analogy runs the other way. Jesus tells us he already knows that earthly fathers are evil. We are not good examples of fatherhood, myself included. So I don't think Jesus is suggesting that we simply think of God as a bigger and better version of earthly fathers. I think it's the other way around. I think it's God who shows us what it is to be a father. Evil earthly fathers are not the basis of the analogy. We don't look to earthly fathers to show us what God the Father is like. We look to God the Father to show us what earthly fathers are supposed to be. We who are evil are not the place to begin to find out about the good gifts that we need. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ shows us how to ask for those good gifts and from whom we are to ask for them. Amen.